We're glad to be here. Thankful you let us come. Sorry, Brother Michael's sick. We are praying for him. Asking the Lord to have mercy and bless him in his work here, there, and yonder. Not too many of us go as far as he goes and does what he does, but I can back him up in prayer. Desire your prayer this morning as we look into the Word of the Lord. I have something on my heart that the very first song of the service attuned to. So I want to open in Titus, the second chapter, please. And we'll start reading in the 11th verse. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, what I want to talk about is a big subject. It's a subject that, I don't know, one minister said about his brother. He said, if you heard Brother Chuck preach, he always brought the subject of grace into his message. Now, that's not a good G, and I'm not a good penmanship, and I'm getting worse as I get older. So maybe you can read that, and I tell you what it means. So this morning, we want to talk about the grace of God. Now, in Psalm 5:10, it starts out with a statement. It says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Tonight, when you and I, when we look back and think about what Brother Randy was talking about, looking at things, the bottom line of it is grace. When you look at what God has done for you and I, it's not you and I, it's the grace of God, it's the power of God, it's the Spirit and the working of God that has helped you and I to do what we're doing. I wouldn't be here today except for the grace of God. You wouldn't be here today except for the grace of God. The grace of God today, it said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. I'm thankful it appeared unto me 40-something years ago. It come down and began to call, it began to convict and deal and work, and I didn't move the fast as some people did, but the bottom line was I did finally yield and got down and begged and pleaded. Didn't know much about salvation, but he raised me up and he brought me out and he set my feet on a rock and established my going, put a new song in my mouth, even praise be unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. This morning, the grace of God, it visits everybody. There's not a soul that's going to step into eternity that the grace of God hadn't taught to and visit with and said, you need to be saved. You need to follow me. You need to love me. The grace of God is there. It visited every one of us this morning. It's touched us and blessed us and worked with us down through our lives and will continue to do so to the end. The grace of God this morning. I am thankful for the grace of God, aren't you? Now then, he says, teaching us. In Matthew and I hadn't thought about this till now, but Matthew the 5th chapter, isn't it? Where he went out on the hillside there, maybe it's the 6th chapter. No, 5th chapter. He said, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, listen, this morning, you and I have the privilege of listing and being talked to by the greatest teacher that has ever taught mankind. There is teachers that are good. There's teachers that excel others. There's other teachers not as good as others. But this is the perfect teacher. He knows how to deal with everybody, every situation. He can talk easy and gentle. He can be firm. He can rebuke. He can whip us into line, so to speak. What I mean, chastise us. He can do anything he wants to do because he's Jesus Christ the righteous, teaching us. Praise God. Listen today, when people begin to come to the Lord and begin to look, God begins to deal and show them what it's going to take to live for him. He begins to show them that there's a way. It's not just any way. It's a way of holiness, power, and glory. And I want to bring you up and out. I want to set your feet on a solid rock. And I want to do something with you, child, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Listen, the Lord has a holiness, righteous way for you and I to live. He said that we should live soberly. There's nobody in here can live soberly. There's nobody in here can live righteously. And there's nobody in here can live godly in this present world without the grace of God. You cannot make heaven by yourself. You can't even start going to heaven by yourself. And you sure can't finish and get there by yourself. It's going to take God every step of the way. There is athletes. There is rich men. There's presidents and different things. They're gifted, a lot of them. They have power and authority. But the bottom line is what they've got is still given to them by God. And this morning, you and I, the grace of God has visited us. And you and I need to thank Him and praise Him and rejoice in Him every day for the grace of God. Let's go to John 1. St. John, the first chapter, 14th verse, please. It says here, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Praise God, He come on the scene here. He doesn't have just a little bit of grace. He don't have just a little bit of truth. He's full of it. He taught it. He lived it. He done the things that need to be to get the people's attention. He helped John. He helped Matthew and Mark and James. He worked with them and helped them, praise God. And he said, "John, bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me, it preferred before me, for he was before me. And of its fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." I want to ask you today, have you received the fullness of Jesus Christ? Have you done everything in every way when He's called? He don't just stop at one spot. It's a continual life all the way to the end. It's a continual climb. It's a continual graduation, so to speak, from one battle to the next, from one victory from the next, building more faith, more power, more authority by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. You get saved, you get baptized, you get sanctified, and you just continue on growing in grace all the way down to the end. And he says here, he said, "And of his fullness have we all received." Now then, have you received the Holy Ghost this morning? What was it that the disciples, when they come to those people out there, what they want to know? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, we don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. I said, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, we've been baptized under John's baptism. Well, it's more than just the wet baptism. It's the Holy Ghost baptism. There's two baptisms this morning. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is very, very important. Have we received that? And then he said, "And grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In other words, he's saying here, the old law, I'm bringing in a new dispensation, a new way of power, a new way of glory, a new life that you can live this world. I'm bringing something into you you've never seen or never had. It's going to be a way that's going to be a blessing to mankind. That's why when the angels, when they showed up there in Luke, the second chapter, he said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, and peace and goodwill toward men." He said, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," listen folks, this is something, it's been prophesied way back when there was going to be a Savior, there was going to be a Redeemer, praise God, and He'd been born now, and glory to God in the highest, praise God. Listen, you and I can't glorify God enough for Jesus Christ, for His Son, for His way, for His life, for what He's done for you and I this morning. Oh, the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. Has it appeared unto you? Have you listened? Have you received it? Have you been saved? In 5:1 of Romans, it said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And then in Ephesians over here, some very familiar scriptures that people use a lot, 2:4, it said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for He loved us, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and He hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, Romans here says, by whom also, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, but it said, by whom also we have access by faith. The whom here is Christ. He's the key. He's the mediator. He's sitting on the right hand. In a little bit, I'll get to one of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. And it says here, in access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. There's a way to get it. That is through Christ. It's access by faith, and that's how we're going to stand. You and I cannot stand the wiles of the enemy, the power and so forth that is out there. We're going to have grace. It's going to be grace and it's going to help us to stand. It stands straight and tall. Listen, there's been people over the, well, I'm thinking about one, that girl in Columbine High School in Colorado there, when she was shot to death, the guy let it be known, if you confess Christ or however he said it, he said, I'm going to shoot you. And she did. And he gunned her down right there. That took grace, folks. Do you and I have that kind of grace? Do we have dying grace? Do we have the grace to stand when the pressure is tight, when the bullets are flying, when the arrows are flying, when the bombs are exploding? Do we have the type of grace to stand? Listen, we have an access through Christ. We can get it no matter what time it is, day or night. Listen, folks, it'll come at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9 in the afternoon, whatever it might be. The Lord has grace for you and I to stand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. By whom? Now then, he said in Ephesians over here, he said, has raised us up together. The grace of God, by grace are you saved. And he's raised us up together, and he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, folks, there is concerts out there. And I'm not talking about Christian concerts. I'm talking about rock and roll and all that kind of mess. Oh, people get all into that. Right here is heavenly places. This right here surpasses Monarch, Guthrie, LaRonger. I was in 12 meetings from the middle of April to the end of December, meeting after meeting. God met us. He blessed us. We sat in heavenly places. There was a mighty powerful evangelistic preaching. I'm not saying that because I'm an evangelist. I'm just saying in general, there was wonderful pastoral preaching that was done in this meeting and that meeting and here and there. There was messages. There was power. There was working. We were sitting together. He blessed in the song service and the special songs and so forth. And it was Jesus Christ. And he had put us, he raised us up also out and set our feet on a solid rock. And he put us in heavenly places. Praise God. Listen, this morning, you can't beat this. I'm not talking about just this service. I'm talking about salvation and being with the saints and the church of God and being somewhere where the truth is preached, where the spirit is, where the freedom is, where the power is. Listen, folks, you can't beat that. There was a man one time in a town. He told me, he said, I've been in 50 churches in this town. And he said, there's only one church that's got what the church of God has got. It's the only one that has the liberty, the anointing, and the power. And I don't know just how what all he said, but he said, it's right here. 50 different churches. He brought us up. He set us in a place of heavenly. Listen, folks, today we don't need to look at suddenly with dread. All right, Brother Bob Slee said, have a hang-dong look. We ought to look forward to saying, praise God, I'm going to meeting, and I'm going to get a blessing, praise the Lord. And it's because of the grace of God. It's because of the work of the Spirit of God. All right, he goes on down in here, the 7th verse, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There is people out there that have a lot of money. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, whoever owns Amazon, head honcho Amazon, those people are worth billions. That is so catastrophic in my mind, I can't even grasp how much a billion is, in a sense. But listen, the smallest amount of Christ's riches is greater than all of them put together. Exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us this morning that He might show. Listen, He wants you and I to look at and consider the rich grace that He's got for you. This is not just any kind of riches. This is exceeding riches. In Monarch, not last summer, but the summer before, we were in a song service, and I was sitting there, and the Lord asked me, He said, how great do you need God to be? And I thought about that for a minute, and He let me know. He said, I'm anything you need. I'm as great as you need me to be, or and if I may use the term, I'm as small as you need me to be. In other words, I've got a little power, a medium amount, or I got everything. I can pull the throttles. And one of the greatest things to me is when I sit on them 737s, 747s, whatever they are, the DC-80s and all them kind of planes that I fly across country back and forth. When I sit there and them old pilots come out and they get ready and they reach up there and they grab them throttles and they jerk it down and I'm sitting there and them big engines start blasting and roaring. I'm going to tell you, that big old thing started lumbering down the tarmac or down the takeoff pad, you think what it's called, and going down there, and he gets faster and he gets faster, and the big engines are pouring it out. Listen, Jesus can pull down anything He needs. He can give you. There has been people that said, I can't do it. There has been people that said, I can't live. There have been people said, I don't have no money to pay my bills. There have been people that said, I can't walk again. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is great enough, powerful enough, and exceeding rich enough to give you anything. There was a couple in California that had a gift of working with young people that were problem children, if you may use that term. She even got a letter from President, then was Governor Ronald Reagan, was hanging on her wall. I saw it. It was worth thousands and thousands of dollars, she said later, when he became president. But there was one morning that she had cooked every bit of food in the house. There was nothing left. I don't remember. I don't know if she said how many children were there. I don't know. But they gathered in for breakfast and they took hands and they bowed their heads to pray. And as they was praying, she had a vision of an angel right up over the middle of the table. And she said later, her and her husband, I guess, and all of them went to town. And when they come home, there was sack after sack after sack of groceries on the front porch. How much do you need this morning? I need help, Brother Carl. How much do you need? Exceeding riches. Not a little bit. You can't run out of this. He's got any amount you need. I can get to the depths of Warren Buffett's. I guess I could anyway. And Bill Gates and President Trump. You can take it. Billions and billions. I get mesmerized. Well, I wouldn't call it mesmerized. I get astonished reading about some of the things about these men. Some of them live a very common life and are so, so rich. But the bottom line is Jesus lives the same life every day for you and I to have a life that we can live before the public by the grace of God. Oh, exceeding riches. How much do you need this morning? All right, let's go to one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews 4th chapter. Hebrews the 4th chapter here. And the end of the deal, 4 and 13 of Hebrews. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Think about that. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Now then, what is grace this morning? Somebody said, well, it's the free mercy of God. It is. But there's another angle of grace, and that's help. It says it right here in this scripture here. He said grace to help in time of need. Now it goes, for we have not a high priest. I'm thankful that we have somebody this morning that can be touched. In my deepest grief, 4 years ago, I would cry and weep. I would have times that I would beside myself, and over and over and over, he would come down and touch me. One day I was telling Randy and Tammy this, or telling Randy, one of them anyway, or both of them. One day I got quite upset at my wife because I had begged her to lose weight. And most of you knew she gained quite a bit of weight in her latter life. And I begged her, and she wouldn't lose weight. She would say, the more that you press me, the more that you chide me, the more that I want to eat. So then come along baby LaDonna. And Donna B grew up, tallest of the family. And she told her mother one day, said, Mama, said, do you not realize that the bottom of basically every disease is obesity? Heart problems, everything. All of it basically, she said, goes back to obesity. So after Becky died, I said, Donna, I said, what caused Rebecca's heart to start racing? He said, I tell you what I think it is. It's her high blood pressure because of her overweight for many, many years. Because when she got her weight down, her blood pressure started dropping more and more. She was looking very good when we were in Hawaii. Well, I was real angry one day with her because of that, and I carried this anger, and I didn't have much anger in my grief experience very much, 2 or 3 times, but this particular day it went for several hours, and in the evening time, God visited me. And I could take you where I was at. I was in a building. And he said, child, he said, don't be angry at your wife. Said, I could have healed her if I'd have wanted to. It doesn't matter. I could have healed her. I could have brought her back. She didn't have to die. I didn't have to take her. I'd done anything I wanted to do. Listen today. The grace of God, the power of God, he is touched by the feelings, by our pain, by our grief, by our anguish, by anything, no matter how small it is. Brother Sammons one time was real sick. Had the flu or something. And the devil come along and said, now if you take a pill, you'll do better. And he thought about that for a moment, and the Lord come along and said, if you'll get down and pray, I can heal you before that pill can get into your bloodstream. And Brother Salmon said, I rolled out of bed and started praying, and I was well in an instant's time. God healed him that quick. He's touched. He knows your headaches, your toothaches. He knows no matter what it is, he understands it. And by the grace of God, he comes down and touches and blesses and works and visits. He takes grief away. He takes pain away. He takes anguish away. He's got the power to do anything. He healed men over and over. Listen, folks, he's still healing people. He's raising them up. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. We can come to the throne of grace boldly, if you want to use that term, because we're his child. Because we're his brother in the Lord, so to speak. We're a part of the family. And he wants us to bring our needs to him. He wants us to bring our everything to him. Lord, I need you. I want you. I need help, Lord. Listen, what happens, mothers and fathers, when your child comes to you and they need you? You just pitch them off? I found out Grandpa may be Grandpa, but I also found out that when Mama come by and Delaney wanted Mama, Grandpa didn't exist too well. She wanted her Mama. And I've been thinking about that. She wanted her mother. Listen today, those mothers and those fathers are keenly tuned to the needs of the children, and they respond to that. They run to that, whatever they need to do. Listen, folks, Jesus is faster than mamas and daddies, and he's more sensitive than mothers and daddies. He can hear the faint whisper of the heart. You can get down and let young people, I done it one time. I come home, and it's been many, many years ago, and I don't even remember what the problem was, but I was so crushed about something, I couldn't even open my mouth and say a word. All I could do is kneel at my chair and weep and sob. And the Lord come down and visited me, and he touched me. Wasn't it Hannah that was praying before Eli? And he thought she was drunken, but the Lord saw it. The Lord knew what she needed. She was a woman of great sorrow, I believe the Bible says. And he knew what she needed, and he blessed her. Did he not? Oh, today, no matter what it is, you can present yourself at the throne of grace, the throne of power, the throne of healing, the throne of glory. You can present yourself at that throne. This is a throne that belongs to the children of God. It is our personal place that we can go and spend time at, praise God, just praying our needs for other people or whatever it might be. The power of God right there, blessing and working. He's sitting on the right hand. He said, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's got all power and exceeding riches that he can work with to help you and I, no matter what our need is. What's your need this morning? Oh, today, let us therefore come boldly. Listen, folks, don't let the devil whip you down and say that you can't do that. You can present yourself to God in a humble, loving way, but you're his child and he loves you. And when you're hurting, he knows about it. And he wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to visit you. Sometimes he allows us to get in pain to slow us down long enough to talk to us real good. Oh, today, let us therefore come boldly, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every need. All right, let's go to one of the great men of the Bible. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:6. 2 Corinthians 12:6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might not depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Now then, there has been a lot of comment down through the years of what the thorn in the flesh was. To me, it tells you right here in this verse. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. It was a false prophet. It was somebody. I have been there. Listen, if you have somebody, especially if you have somebody that you have loved in the Lord and they turn on you, folks, that's pretty tough. I've had it. I've had them stab me in the back. I've had them pull the guns and start firing at me. I've had them hurl the missiles and the bombs. I even made a statement one time that if I died, that they'd throw a party and dance in the street just to be, they would get rid of me. They're glad I'm gone. Well, I don't know about that. But the bottom line is, Paul had a man that was giving him a hard time. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice. Have you ever besought the Lord? I need you, Lord. And he said here, that it might depart from me. I need you, Lord, to remove this. This is getting a little bit much. You ever had that? Have you ever said that? This sickness is going a long time. I'd like to get rid of this. I'd like to be well. Have you ever had a problem or trouble that seemed like it just went on and on and on? And he said unto me, my grace is insufficient for thee. Are you all awake? Does it say insufficient or does it say sufficient? Now what's sufficient mean? Totally and completely, wouldn't it? In other words, His grace is everything we need. There isn't any ifs, ands, buts about it. As Brother Mark used to say, all means all, and that's what it means. It means everything. This morning, His grace is all sufficient. Completely. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. The weaker we get and the more grace. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't see great grace much anymore. You don't need great grace unless you have great trials. If you have a great trial, then you need great grace. Some of us ain't got great trials. I'm not saying you never do, but you go along and not all the time. You don't need great grace. You don't rev an engine all the time unless you're trying to pull something. Unless you need the power. Well, He doesn't need to show His great strength, His great grace, unless it's needed. So today, He said, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I'm learning here, Paul said, that He's got everything I need, and I'm just going to rest in that. I'm not going to allow this thing to get me down. I'm not going to allow it to cause me to backslide. I'm going to rest in the fact that His strength is made perfect in weakness because it shows the power of God holding us up. It shows the power of God working with us and helping us. There have been people, listen, there have been people that ought to be dead today that are alive because of Christ. Sister Renee's son is one of them. And there is others. Karen Kay's another that went right down to death's door. And just before, my mama used to say, just before she died, she didn't. The Lord brought her back up. And we have K&K. We have Devin. We've got others that are out there because of the grace of God. Just before they died, they didn't. They looked like their strength was gone. Their life was almost gone. And just when they hit almost the bottom, the Lord turned it around and raised them back up. Praise God. Listen, folks, we don't have to worry. Lord, help us here. We don't have to be anxious. We've got somebody that's right there that has the strength to help us, that has the grace. So Paul said, I take pleasure. And infirmities, do we? Getting quiet. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I take it in reproaches and necessities and persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when it looks like I can't go any further, He's helping me. He is coming through. I was so weak when I was bad sick back in 87 in West Virginia, Brother Salmon's house, that I sometimes had Becky on one side, Dad on the other, just helping me to walk. Or I was holding on to things that Dad on one side or Rebecca on one side. I don't know, maybe Mama helped me a few times too when Dad and Mom was there. But the bottom line was I was very, very weak. Listen, folks, there is times that we have some hard times and maybe in a sense we are weak. But the Lord's right there holding us, helping us. His grace. Are you rejoicing? Lord, help us. I'm preaching to Carl this morning too. I'm not just preaching to you. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. All right, let's go to James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now then, We have a right to come boldly to the throne of grace, but we got to do it humbly at the same time. He says here, he giveth more grace. There's a scripture said, let's see, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And here he says, but he giveth more grace, but wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and he giveth grace to the humble. So if you and I want this grace, is all we have to do is just be sure to get way down low. How's that song say? A stream finds a bed that is lowly. We get on down there. We get just as humble. And the Lord will giveth more and more and more exceeding riches of his grace. He's got it. But he resisteth the proud now. He resisteth the proud. All right, let's go to Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans, the 11th chapter. And the first verse. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life? But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed down to the knee, bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be a works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now then, he said, I love this scripture right here. It says, even so then, fifth verse, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Listen, folks, we're the remnant today and we're here because of the election of grace. The election of grace means the full plan of salvation that was given to mankind to help us, to save us, to deliver us, the whole full plan. And he chose us. We're here because we're chosen. I know you probably said, well, I want to live for the Lord. Well, that's true, but he had to call you. He had to deal with you. He had to give you an opportunity to be chosen, so to speak. He wanted you. He desired you. Listen, there have been people out there that have great wisdom and great authority and great everything. But the bottom line, he went along and he called some of the poor people. He called different ones of this race and that race. And he took them and he made of them things that they couldn't have been otherwise except by the grace of God. And they're part of that election. Oh, today we're part of the election. We're part of the remnant. A remnant may not be a whole lot of people, but that remnant is around the world. Brother Michael works with them over in Africa. And they're in Germany, and they're in Austria, and they're in China. They're all over the place. We are going to get to heaven, and we're going to find people there that is the election of grace, the remnant by the election of grace from all over the world. And they're going to walk up, and they're going to speak to us too. We're part of that election of grace. I'm thankful today to be part of that. For it by grace. Now the Jews thought they had it sewed up. And they wanted to hang to their law system. And so he said, well, and if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel had not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. In other words, they hung to the law. They hung to the old system. They rejected grace. And when they did, they were rejected. So I'm thankful today that you and I have a chance or have a part of the election. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13 and 9. Hebrews 13 and 9. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established. Now the Lord wants you and I to be established in Him. He wants us to be established in grace, in the doctrine that He has. He said, teaching us. That was one of our first scriptures. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, you should live soberly, righteous, godly in this present world. The Lord is going to teach us. He's going, if we will allow Him, it's a good thing that the heart be established. Now then, the natural heart, the medical world is all for taking care of the natural heart. Now, I'm not against that. As far as taking care of it, I'm not against that. But the bottom line is, this heart is really more important than the fleshly heart. If we get the heart, the spiritual heart, if we get established, if we get it settled, it will not be going after divers and strange doctrine. It will have the wisdom to know the difference. When it's presented, it will back off. It may challenge it. It may give scripture to it. It may say, I'm sorry, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. There may be various ways, but the bottom line is the spiritual heart has been established, has been settled with the grace of God, whereby that is, as Brother Martin used to say, I'm referring to Brother Samuel's life this morning, he had a caution light. And when things wasn't right, he said that caution light would start blinking. Well, have you ever had that? I'd say all of us have to extend. The Lord has something within us, in our spirit, that when something doesn't ring right, we know it. We can feel it. We can tell it. We can spiritually discern it. We know that something is wrong here. And when it is, we start doing whatever we have to do, as gingerly and whatever. Or you might have to get firm. You might have to be bold. One time, I was working with a man, the janitor worked, and he was of another belief. And the Lord told me one night, we've been trying to work with him and we, none of us could get anywhere. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you can't help that man. So one night there was three of us together and we were working with him and we couldn't get anywhere. No matter what scriptures we give him, no matter what way we went, right, left, we've just given him everything we could give him and it wasn't doing no good. And I got home a little discouraged about it. And the Lord turned me right back. He said, what did I tell you? I told you, you can't help that man. You can't help him. But the bottom line was, we were trying. We had our hearts established in the grace of God, and he was following divers and strange doctrines, and we couldn't change him. He was set in his way, and we were established in our way. It is wise to be established and settled in the things of God by the grace of God. Everything that he wants to give, not with meats, which have not profited them, which had occupied thereof. Again, this is getting back to the Levitical system and so forth of the things that they were doing under that. It did not satisfy the soul. It didn't save it. It didn't bless it. It didn't do anything. It didn't raise it up and out. It left it in sin. And so he's telling you need something better than that. You need your heart established with grace. That's what you need. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 18. 2 Peter 3 and 18, right along the same line here. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. But grow in grace. Allow the Lord to deepen you. Allow the Lord to work with you. Parents want their children to learn. One time Becky was working with Donna and Donna just couldn't get it. In this particular, whatever it was, she couldn't get it. And course, Donna started school way earlier than everybody else did, so to speak, because big sis was going to school. So little sis wanted to go to school, so Becky teaching two of them. And Donna started 18 months before she's supposed to. And so she was just young enough and she couldn't get it. And I don't remember just where this was at in the whole 12-year program. But anyway, Becky, when I come home that day, Becky said, "Oh, Carl." She said, "You should have seen her when she got it." Her face just lit up. That thrilled my wife. It thrilled me too. She got it. Our face can light up too, children. The Lord loves to look down on you and I, and He's teaching us, and He's working us, and opening things up to us, and all of a sudden you just click, so to speak. I was on an install job here in 2015, and I had never done this. And Brother Dan told me, he said, "I can't help you." And him and Brother Philip had always helped me. Well, others had too. I'm not saying that. The Mitchells and different ones had. So it wasn't just them alone. But in other words, if you get into a jam and you're there by yourself, we can walk you through about anything. And they had. But he let me know, "I can't help you." But he said, "I got men in the field that is doing the same type of work," and said, "they can help you." Well, I had a nephew, Billy Gilmore. He was in Houston. I was in California, if I remember right. I was in San Diego area. And I was looking at it, and it just, I looked at the plans. It would not click. And I done this. I had done that, and I called Billy, and he shot me some pictures on my phone and so forth, and I was looking at it, and it clicked. I got it. The Lord loves you to go, "I got it!" and beam and be blessed because of the grace that Jesus Christ is helping you to grow in and day out. Listen, folks, today He spends multitudes of hours teaching us in the grace of God, giving us things in grace and in doctrine and the different things of life. He spends multitudes of time. How He does it, I don't know, except He's a spirit and He's able to minister to every one of us individually. Billions of people out there, and He can work with everybody that needs Him to, and He wants to, praise God. Oh, today, grow. Are you growing in grace this morning? Are you growing and letting the Lord teach you and work with you? Oh, He wants to. Now let me give you, young people in particular here, don't get shook up if you don't learn everything in the first time you read it. I've read this old Bible many times. I've read scriptures in this Bible I don't know how many times. Preached over 42 years now, and I still get things out of some of the same scriptures. This is the only book by the power of the Holy Ghost and God that is able to enlighten, open up, and do what no other book can do. And you can read the same scripture, and He can just keep multiplying and working. And oh, it's such a blessing. I get so excited sometimes. All right, 2 Timothy 2:1. 2 Timothy 2:1. He said, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now that's going along back with what Paul was saying. Be strong. Be strong. All right, let's move on. Time's running out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I want just a little bit more. 2 Corinthians 1:12. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Now, it doesn't matter how good you are, how talented you are, how strong you are, how smart you are, how wise you are. When we get down to the end of life, it's going to mean one thing right here. And in 2 Corinthians 1:12, he says this, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you." And that's not the scripture I was thinking. This is all right, but that's not the one I say. It's the next one. It said, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, than simplicity and godly wisdom, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, We had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you were. The only way that you and I are going to live this life, of course, is by the grace of God. Our conversation, our conduct, our life is going to have to be done by His grace. We can't do it without it. You can try and you can fall flat on your face. But the grace can help you. He is there to help you. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is the one I was thinking about right here. Yeah, this is the one I want. All right, go back and grab what I said a while ago, that no matter what, it's going to be this at the very end. But by the grace of God, I am, well, let's go to the ninth verse. For I am the least of the apostles. That I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I appreciate Paul. He was willing to admit what he was before he got saved. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. When we get down to the end, I don't care what genealogy of family we're in. When we get down to the end, we're going to say this, I am what I am by the grace of God. We'll say it now, but we're definitely going to say it at the end of time. It's not going to be you and I that lifted our own selves up by our bootstraps. It's not going to be you and I that's got there by the name that we have. It's not you and I that's going to get there by our wisdom only, by our strength only, by our intellect only. It's not going to be by that companion, male or female, that has helped you and I to get there. And they do help. I'm not saying they don't. But the bottom line is, when it gets down to the end, you and I are going to come to the very end. And you're going to say, Lord, I am what I am. I've made it to this point. I am facing death. I'm fixing to go out into eternity and meet God. And Lord, I am here. I'm clean. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown, as Paul said. I'm facing it. There it is. But then he said right here, I am what I am. I have got to this point by one thing, and that's been your help, your mercy, your love. It wouldn't have been any other way, folks. It's Him every step of the way. Every step of the way, it's been the Lord. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I have taken the grace, I have used the grace that the Lord has given me. It's not been in vain or useless, but I've taken it by His strength, by His leadings, by His guidings, by His understanding, by His light, by everything He's done for me, and I've used it to the glory of God. I preached the gospel, I've done all these things, I've been in the deep, I've been all kind of things over in Corinthians there. I talked about 6th chapter. I've gone through all of these things. It wasn't in vain, praise God. I've done what He wanted me to do. And He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace which was with me. Oh, today, Ephesians 4 and 7. He brings up a point here. He said, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Young people, I would dare say probably every young person in here, at the thought of being a preacher, you recoil at that very thought. Nobody wants to be a preacher. I didn't. It took the Lord several months of working with me to get me to do what I do. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. But you remember, the devil took Christ, and let me get that, 4th chapter of Matthew. He took Christ and he put Him up on the, see, how does it read there? All All right, I want the 8th verse. And the devil taketh him, 4:8 of Matthew, taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Do you know the devil's still doing that today? When the Lord is trying to work with our young people and call and dedicate and get to sanctification and giving all to God and so forth, the devil's showing them, if you do that, you can't have that. Remember that house over there you want? Can't have that. All that pretty, oh, you can't have her neither. Have some husband? No, can't have him neither. You can have anything the Lord wants you to have. But the bottom line is this. Remember. Well, let me get back to my scripture over here. In Ephesians 4, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according. When the Lord calls, no matter what the calling, what the gift that he gives to you and I, he has the grace sufficient to go with that gift. And you might, well, like Brother Michael, he's going to Africa. It's not my call to go over there, Renee. I talked to Brother Marty. I said, I've never had a burden to go over there. He said, I hadn't either. I got enough right here. I'm not saying I won't, but it's just, so far it's not been my call. But if he did, he would have grace for me. No matter what your gift, what your calling, what the Lord does with you and I, the devil wants to scare everybody and say, you can't do it and this and that and the other. But the bottom line is, he's got grace sufficient for no matter what he calls you to, desires you to do, leads you to do, puts you in the situation. There is grace there to help you and work with you every step of the way. Don't allow the devil to say, you can't do it, because you can do it. Paul did it. Mark done it. Matthew done it. Brother Salmon's done it. Brother Fred Pruitt done it. Brother Murphy Allen done it. But there's another one. Brother Grass Gibson done it. Different ones. Some of them brothers I didn't even know, didn't even work with. They died before I got saved. But the bottom line is, God had grace. And he says over there in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, he said there's a great cloud of witnesses that's there. He said, see him, we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Listen, folks, you get to looking. There is ministers that have ministered among us for years. If they can do it, we can do it. There's teachers that's been teachers for years. There have been missionaries for years. There have been singers for years. If they can do it, you can do it. He's got the grace to go with the gift and the calling that he calls you to. And if he calls you, say, yes, sir. It may take you a little bit to get there, but when he gets you there, it'll be a blessing. All right, final scripture. Let's go to Hebrews 13. No, let's go to Acts 13:43. And just a little something to maybe encourage you. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I want to encourage you this morning to go on in His grace. I've tried to present a positive doctrine this morning, or a positive way. You can live for God. I got saved when I was 18. Thursday I turned 65. I've been saved, 46, 47 years now. And it has not been me, it's been God. It's been Christ. There has been times I didn't think I could go any further, but he picked me up and he helped me. He gave me that grace. He gave me that strength. He gave me everything. Listen, folks, I'm just a poor old country boy. But if Carl Schaefer can do it, Brother Mark Sammons can do it, if Brother Rice can do it, Brother Fred can do it, Brother Allen can do it, you can do it. You can go. By the grace of God, because it never quits. This is a God that is everything to all ages to the very end when he says, come home, my child. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers this morning. Pray for me.